Okay, so warm hello and welcome wherever you are, whatever time zone. And for the practice today, I'd like to invite us to explore the practice of equanimity, and entering into it yet a different way. On Monday, we explored equanimity. Entering into it in one way, as I described, noticing the coming and goings, etc., in our lives, and then sense of spaciousness. So tonight we'll try something else, yet another doorway into equanimity. And see, what do I want to say about it before we start? Yeah, maybe what I will say is, there are so many different ways to practice this beautiful practice of equanimity, the crown jewel of Buddhist practice. And maybe I will also say that the near enemy, or what masquerades sometimes as equanimity, is aloofness, not caring, kind of turning our mind, our hearts away, whereas equanimity is a sense of caring stability. It holds presence. So we'll explore that. Another aspect we'll explore is, there are so many different perceptions, so many different perspectives that we can play with, so many wholesome perspectives that we can invite and play with. So we will play with one perception, a perspective of on our life from a compassionate being, from someone who cares, and take on their perspective of both care and equanimity for us. So that's kind of the territory where we're going. And let's just practice together and see what happens. So I'd like to invite us all to get into our meditation posture. Landing, landing, landing in the body. If you need to shift to lie down, that's okay, or sit up straighter. See what this body needs right now in this moment. And just landing, landing in the body, arriving with the breath. Spending some time to settle in a relaxed, soft, present, connected body, grounded, deeply rooted. We'll take a few minutes to just settle and arrive. The breath, receiving the breath in the abdomen. In breath and out breath. Inviting your body to relax and soften. With the breath. Nowhere to go, nothing to accomplish. To just simply inhabit this moment here, however it's showing up. Noticing the sensations of the breath in the abdomen. Noticing any sensations anywhere in the body that calls to you. Letting the sensations be felt, be sensed, whether pleasant or unpleasant. The comings and goings of the sea of sensations. Just witnessed. Known, not trying to fix, push away, simply known. The rivers of sensation, some pleasant, some unpleasant. can also open up the awareness to include the river of sounds, the soundscape, coming and going, arising and passing. Not falling into, not wanting more, not pushing away, just knowing, arising and passing of all the sounds, the river of sounds. There can be peace, ease, the heart can be relaxed, the comings and goings of sensations and sounds. Not taking any sounds personally. They come and they go. Can we have equanimity, equipoise with all the sounds? And the same with the sensations. Coming and going. Being witnessed. Spacious, open, allowing the comings and goings, not turning away, not personalizing, and now also opening up to the comings and goings of thoughts, comings and goings of emotions. Perhaps labeling not my emotions, but emotions. Maybe sadness, joy, whatever it might be. With each breath witnessed. Not owned, not clung to. Similar with thoughts, like clouds in the sky. Not getting entangled in the content. like watching the clouds and the sky. It's easy to have equanimity with clouds in the sky that come and go. Not me, not mine. Born out of causes and conditions. Now you can stay with this, or if you like, continue with the next invitation. To imagine a kind, compassionate presence. Who is witnessing with you all the comings and goings, the rivers of sensation, pleasant and unpleasant, the sounds, the emotions, the thoughts, like clouds in the sky. This kind, compassionate presence. Who cares? Witnessing, knowing, as if a good friend sitting next to you, watching. Being aware of these rivers flowing. And they care about you. And they have a lot of wisdom. They're both wise and compassionate. They have vast, vast wisdom. Of the causes and conditions, they're not caught. They care. And yet, as they observe, as they witness with you these comings and goings of your life, they have a sense of caring stability in their perspective. They care. And they are not toppled over. They watch, they sense, they notice, they know what's happening for you intimately and with a lot of equanimity. With their perspective of care and wisdom. And is it possible to witness yourself, witness your own life from the perspective of this wise and compassionate presence? You're welcome to imagine it as a friend sitting next to you, or maybe non-localized, just a knowing that's wise and compassionate. See what works best for you. Letting the body be relaxed. Make sure you're not trying too hard. If you notice the body has become tight or the breath has become tight, just relax. Just soften. Let the breath and body be known. Keep it simple. All the rivers of sensations, thoughts, sounds, emotions, just coming and going, known, witnessed, with care and stability, without pushing away or falling into. The vast wisdom, spaciousness, with equipoise, equanimity. Comings and goings of sounds and events internally and externally in the world. Some pleasant, some unpleasant, all witnessed. All witnessed. Spaciously, with equanimity, equipoise. All the comings and goings witnessed. From the perspective, expansive perspective of deep wisdom and compassion far beyond what we give ourselves credit for. From a knowing, a presence that compassionate and wise. And from that arises deep, deep equanimity to hold all that arises and passes. Perspective we can peek through at our own life, others. And for the last minutes of this practice together, allowing the river of thoughts, sensations, sounds that this period of practice was, letting it be held, witnessed from this expansive perspective of equanimity. Caring stability. Not judging, not pushing away, not berating. It flowed exactly as it needed to flow, given the causes and conditions. And appreciating that we showed up and we did our best to practice. Appreciating if our perspective managed to connect, even for a split second, with the perspective of equanimity, vast equanimity, stable caring, witnessing the comings and goings with care and wisdom. Thank you for your practice. So we have some time for reflections, questions. You're invited to share your wisdom with the community, as it can be very supportive. And you can raise your Zoom hand if you wish, or type it in chat. And if you type in chat just to me, I won't say your name. It'll be anonymous. And if you type it to everyone, then I will say your name. So what did you notice in this practice? What did you notice in this way of practicing equanimity? Maybe as I wait for you to form your reflections, your questions, your complaints. I will say that it is said that with the four Brahma Viharas, the first one being metta, love, loving kindness, second one being mudita, vicarious joy, sorry, second one being compassion, karuna, third one being mudita, vicarious joy, and the fourth one being equanimity, upekkha. So it is said that compassion is the love child of suffering plus metta. When love meets suffering, it expresses itself as compassion. And I just thought that actually equanimity, the fourth Brahma Vihara, is the love child of metta, love child of love, with wisdom. With wisdom that sees all causes and conditions. So when you have love, caring, metta meets wisdom, the two of them, they express themselves as equanimity. So it's stable, it's caring, it's holding witness, it's not turning away, and yet has vast, vast wisdom as a part of it. So reflections, what did you notice? How was this for you? I'd love to take a couple of reflections from you. How are you finding yourself right now compared to before starting this practice? Clark, please.
I really enjoyed the practice. I was just going to say, not a super deep reflection. I just finished the Book of Joy, which I'd heard about when you did the series based on it. And so my compassionate being was the Dalai Lama. And so the meditation was kind of like, what would the Dalai Lama do? Like, how would he hold whatever's coming up? Which was fine because sometimes it was like laughter and just being silly. Sometimes it was compassion. Sometimes it was just sort of like peaceful, like you said, sort of like vast wisdom that doesn't get hung up on things. So it was fun.
That's lovely. Thanks, Clark. Thanks for sharing that. I love both hearing that you're inspired to read the Book of Joy, which I think is wonderful based on the series we did together, and also that your compassionate presence with Dalai Lama and was playful because he tends to be a playful person, especially as it comes through the Book of Joy. He's having a fun time with Desmond Tutu, and they're joking and making fun of each other, and it's just such lighthearted, compassionate, joyful presence together with a lot of wisdom, of course. So, yay, I so appreciate you bringing that in. Clark, that's lovely. That's great. And question comes from Mitra. Can you say a few words about equanimity and right effort, being okay with what is, and making effort to stay with mindfulness? Mitrajan, let me ask you some what would be helpful? Because there's so many directions I can go, so it would be helpful to hear a little more about what's coming up for you that this question is becoming relevant. So, yeah.
In regards to meditation, I tend to be very upset with myself when I can't stay mindful or I lose my mindfulness. And how do I, and I see the benefit of trying to be more equanimous with that, but how do I gauge it so I'm not too easy on myself?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, So it's I'll so I understand the question. Thanks for elaborating. So I'll say a couple of words about wise effort or wise engagement. The word effort brings a lot of can bring oh tightness. So wise engagement. What is wise engagement? Then I'll relate it to equanimity. So with wise engagement, the Buddha likens it to tuning a bowed instrument. So sometimes it'll be too tight, like, oh, are you trying too hard? Oh, I missed that breath. Oh, I missed that thought. Bad, bad, bad. That's a little too tight. Ouch. And then too loose would be daydreaming for the entire 45 minutes. And then it would be the last, if it's the 45 minutes, or in this case, the 30 minutes, daydreaming for 35. Oh, I'm daydreaming. It's fine. Noticing that you're daydreaming and not doing anything about it, that's too loose, right? In the middle, you're like, oh, I'm daydreaming, but it's fine. This is so fun. I don't really want to follow that meditate. So that would be too loose. So, okay. So those are the end. Okay. So from what you've described, it sounds like you're closer to the tight, to the efforting, right? It's like, oh, bad, you missed that. Oh, instead of so it's okay. So go you so in order to find what is the appropriate level of engagement, you need to loosen. You will get too loose at some point, and then you'll get a little tight at some point, and then loose some. So you'll just do this until you develop a discernment for what is appropriate. So don't expect to be right on all the time. But from what I'm hearing from you is that you're too tight. So loosen it. Have more ease. Like, oh, I just noticed I was daydreaming for five minutes. Ah, it's okay. I'll start again. So the sense of ease, a sense of ease of letting go. So that's how actually equanimity can come in here, because then you're not fighting it, you're not trying, because it's past, it's gone anyway. There's a sense of ease, of spaciousness. Oh, maybe the mind is really busy because these are the causes and conditions. That's how the wisdom comes in. Like, these are the causes and conditions of this body right now. It's very distracted. And another thing that I've heard and I use is distracted Buddha or thinking Buddha is what you can say. And I've used that a lot. At times I've sat and my mind has been really, really all over the place. Like, oh, today the mind is busy. I'm showing up as the busy Buddha, busy mind Buddha, as the distracted Buddha. These are the causes and conditions that are showing up. And having just as much ease, that's a training too, having just as much ease. So because and recognize you had the intention. I had the intention. But being equanimous with what arises, because that's really what we're trying to cultivate anyway. It's a sense of peace with all causes and conditions. So if we can't have peace with the causes and conditions of our minds, right? If we're then we're trying to get somewhere that we're just going the opposite way. How can we get there when we're going this way? You see? So having more peace with this
I love
process.
thinking about causes and conditions. I mean that kind of loosens the harshness dissolves though. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, dear. Thanks for bringing that in. And Olivia, whoops. Okay, never mind. I'll look at that comment another time. I realize it was directed to me, so I didn't want to say the name. So Olivia, if you want to stay later, I'll read that and we'll address this together. Sorry. Wanted to keep it anonymous. Oh well. Okay. So Matthew, I see your hand. Oh, actually, tell you what, Matthew, let's if it's okay. Let's do the groups and come back and I'll come back to your comment because time is flying by. So keep that thought, please. So let's turn our attention to small practice in small groups, in small breakout groups, and we'll come back and reserve some time for reflections at the end. So here we go, creating the rooms. And let us start with 30 seconds of silent metta for each other, and then you're welcome to share anything you wish. Okay, here we go. I'm going to open the rooms. Here we go. Okay. Okay, welcome back, everyone. We have about a minute left, and Matthew, you had your hand up. So please, if you would kindly unmute yourself.
Hi. Hi. I haven't been here in a few weeks. The last time I was here, I think, was for mudita. And for me, it's easier to, I find like mudita or metta are a little bit less subtle, like they're a bit easier to bring up for me. And I was wondering if there's kind of a way to maybe like go from one of those into equanimity, or if that's kind of normal, that equanimity is like a little bit less easy to kind of just feel straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. Equanimity tends to be more subtle than the other ones, which is why it's number four, because all the teachings of the Buddha, if you've noticed, they go from the grosser to more and more subtle. So if you're finding it more subtle, you're not alone. I've heard this from many other people that, oh yeah, this is a little more subtle. Wait a minute. Like, so hang in there. And it's nature to be a little more subtle. It's just, it's part of nature of equanimity to be a little more subtle, right? It's not in your head over, you know, it's like, oh, equanimity. It's more like, it's more kind of a subtle way of holding. There's some care. So, so with that, you can either get into it from metta, where there's a little, some care, and there's just, and then opening to wisdom with all causes and conditions, or getting into it from compassion, like, I care for you, I hold you, and may it is what it is. And I guess also the other thing to say is that at the beginning you said that you haven't been to happy hour since mudita, and then after mudita we did a week of equanimity, and there was a lot more methodical. I use the phrases, and sometimes the phrases can help people. So that's it, Matthew. You may want to go back and look at the archives of the week of equanimity. And there were five or six or sessions or something, and much more methodical. And play around with those. Yeah, great. I'm glad you brought this up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. So, dear ones, the time has come for us to end with equanimity, to let go to this hour of practicing equanimity together. So thank you all for your practice, for this cultivation that you do, not just for yourself, but for all beings everywhere. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So now I will stop the recording.